Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to our guests this morning. We thank you for joining us. And I also bring you, as a congregation, greetings from many people at the conventions. And now I'd like to make just a short announcement. I'd like to thank you very much for the time off. And I would ask and covet your prayers. My stepfather has been diagnosed with lung cancer that has gone into his lymph system. And that's part of the reason that I left and I was gone so long. And I just ask that you would pray that God's will would be done within that whole situation. And that he would be glorified in whatever happens. And so I do thank you for allowing me to spend some time with them and with Rita's family. It was a good time and a time of refreshment. And I was looking very much forward to being back with you and continuing to serve you. This morning we're going to look at a text that's actually very special to me. And it's very important and sets up one of my guiding principles within my ministry. In it, Jesus is telling us a story of something that we can all understand. And the meaning of the story is that he allows today for all men to be. It basically talks about the day of grace, that we live in it now, that God is not separating out people. And it also tells us that we as his servants have no ability to do that separating either. But during this day of grace we are called to preach the gospel, called to live the gospel. And because of this gospel, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the gospel, Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. Reading in Jesus' name. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man, which sowed good seed in his field. But while the man slept, his enemy came, and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, and brought forth fruit, there appeared also the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence, then, hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together the first the tares, then bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they that gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall be cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus is telling this parable to a multitude of people and explaining, actually in more parables beyond that, the kingdom of God in ways that we can understand it. And our first verse tells us this. He presented another parable to them saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." The first thing that we must look at is really, what does the kingdom of heaven mean? And I was looking back and looking at this last night, and I came into to a verse at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" The first thing that we have to notice here is Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's right here. It's not some future event. Who is at hand? It is the person of Jesus Christ. And later he will go on to say that all who do the will of my Father will inherit the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is Jesus Christ in his body. It is the church. It is us. It's not some future event, something that's going to happen someday. It's now. It's here. And in fact, it is all of us who are believers, who are the body of Jesus Christ. We take part in the kingdom of heaven now. It is here now. With that in mind, we can move on to the man who plants good seeds in his field, and then see what has happened. "But while men were sleeping, his enemies came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came to him and said, 'Sir, did you not know the good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.'" Now, as I said, this is something that we can all understand. If we planted a field, if we planted a garden, if we've planted a lawn, or even a flower bed, we spend a lot of time getting the right plants or the right seeds, preparing the soil bed, making sure everything is perfect. And then you plant. And after a number of days, especially if you were to show up at my house right now, you look in the garden and there's lots of weeds. And you start to wonder to yourself, did I do this correctly? Almost like the servants asking the master, you know, how did this happen? Didn't you plant good seed? But the farmer knows that there's an enemy. And those weeds came from the enemy. And our next verse really is very interesting because it goes against everything that we would think would be proper. "The slaves of the servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you are gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now I know for a fact that this week I will be out pulling weeds, because I have no choice. And this is kind of the way mankind thinks, that we too need to weed out the kingdom of heaven. That's not our job. Jesus tells us flat out here that we will do much more harm than good in trying to do this. Because we'll end up destroying even the good, the wheat itself. And it is Jesus Christ Himself who will send the reapers, the harvesters, to take care of this job. And this is one of those really great parables, because we get the parable and then we get the meaning told to us by Jesus to His disciples. And that's what comes to the end. And this is where we can really look at ourselves as the body of Christ and find out where we fit into this. Then He left the multitudes and He went into the house, and He and His disciples came to Him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares." Now they didn't really understand this. And I actually think they didn't understand it for the same reason that it's hard for us. When there's weeds in the field, you gotta go pull them. You gotta take care of that stuff. When there's weeds in your lawn, especially those that are fastidious about their lawn, you go out and you get the weed and feed. You make sure that everything's taken care of. But that's not what Jesus tells us here. His answer is, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." The Son of Man is Jesus Christ Himself. He has planted the good seed. He brings forth the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that He came. He came to shed His blood upon Calvary's cross to forgive the sin of the world. This is the seed. He came to forgive our sin, to wash it away in His blood. And the field, that's the world. That's everybody out there. And notice He sows the seed over all the world, over all people. There is no, "Well, I'll put some here and I'll put some here." And in fact, in an earlier parable within this chapter, He says that the farmer goes out and he scatters seed everywhere. Some falls on good ground, some falls on rocky paths, some on shallow soil. But He's indiscriminate in where He sows that seed. And so too should we be. We bring the gospel everywhere we go, to all people, regardless of what they're caught in, regardless of the sin that's in their lives, regardless of what church they go to, any of these things. We bring the good news of Jesus Christ, because we are part of Him. And the tares are sold by Satan himself. There will be enemies among us. There will be enemies within the church. Whether we like it or not, that's the way it's going to be. And yet, He doesn't tell His servants to weed them out. That's not our calling. Our calling is not to point out to people, "Well, they're not Christian." That's not our job. If we have an issue within the church as a whole, and that's it, because we like to look at ourselves as righteous and look at those other people over there as unrighteous, we forget who we follow. The one who shed His blood to wash away the sin of the world, to declare mankind righteous. And what He asks of mankind in return is that we would believe it. That's it. That we would have faith in Him. And as His followers, we're not to go pick out those people and say, "You're not it. You don't do the things that I do. Or you do things I don't do. So you must not be Christian." That's actually the enemy. Because do the servants go out in this parable and start pulling out the wheat or the tares? No. They leave it alone. The wheat and the tares grow up together. And then God, or the Son of Man, Jesus Christ Himself, will send forth His angels. And they will gather out His kingdom. Out of His kingdom, all the stumbling blocks and all that who commit lawlessness. Now, I think this is very interesting. Because He doesn't just say those who are lawless. He also says those who have become stumbling blocks. Those who would make the gospel harder than it actually is. Because we can become stumbling blocks for many people. When we start making requirements of what they must do, instead of telling them what Christ has done for them. It's not just the lawless that will be separated out. It is all enemies of Jesus Christ. Those who are unwilling to do what He has asked them to do because of a lack of faith. And yet, we are not to fear this thing. Paul tells us that very clearly in our scripture reading. And if children, or the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. That's who we are. We don't fear the end. Sometimes we make the end of earth or the end of our lives seem like this big thing that should be scary to us. It's not. We are part of Jesus Christ. We are hidden in Him. The end He will take care of. And He has promised to carry us through until the end. And He will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we're scared, it should be for them. Our prayers should be for them. Our love should be for them. So that no one would have to face that fire. If we say we love and we are loved by God, that same love should flow through us. That we would look at everyone in the world with the same eyes that Jesus did. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. This is what He said to those who were hanging Him on the cross. We have no business trying to separate out the wheat from the tares, or the righteous from the unrighteous. That is God's domain. Because in the end, the righteous will shine forth as the sun, and in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Understand what Jesus has said to us here. In amongst the body of the church, there will be believers and there will be unbelievers. And we are not called to separate them out. We as believers in Him are called to proclaim the gospel, to tell people about what Jesus Christ and God through Jesus Himself has done for them. To proclaim that love, that forgiveness through the blood of Christ to all the world, everywhere, and to let God deal with the increase, and to let God deal with the harvest, because He's more than capable of taking care of His church. In Jesus' name.